Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be unto us all. Welcome once again to our usual class where we learn about topics that have direct benefit in connection with our faith. Today, we shall be discussing the permissible and forbidden foods in Islam. Islam as a perfect religion, as we keep saying, takes every step to ensure that our physical and also spiritual well-being is maintained. And for this reason, Islam puts major emphasis on what we eat, what we consume into our bodies. Because we know that what we eat actually affects our well-being. There is a popular saying that we are all aware that you are what you eat. I'll be reading from the Holy Quran, chapter number 2, verse 173. Where Allah the Almighty has shared a very important instruction. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Innama harrama alaykumul maytata wad-dama wal-lahmal khinzir. Wama uhilla bihi lighayrillah. Faman isturra ghayra baghin wala adin fala ithma alayh. Inna Allah Ghafur Rahim. The verse, as I said, is taken from Quran chapter number 2, verse 173. The translation reads as follows: O ye who believe, eat of the good things we have provided for you, and render thanks to Allah, if it is He whom you worship. He has made unlawful to you only that which dies of itself, and blood, and the flesh of swine or pig, and that on which the name of any other than Allah has been invoked. But he who is driven by necessity, being neither disobedient nor exceeding the limit, it shall be no sin for him. Surely Allah is most forgiving, merciful. To believers, we don't require any form of explanation to forgo what Allah the Almighty has forbidden. But then, when we read the Holy Quran, one thing we also come to learn is that among the purpose of the messengers of Allah is to teach the book or the law, and also the wisdom behind those laws. So for this reason, it is important that once we learn about the laws, we delve deep into the wisdom behind why those laws have been given to us. In this case, the foods that we are not supposed to eat. To make it brief, if I intend to go into the foods that are permissible, I don't think anybody could even exhaust that topic. So since those forbidden foods are just few, once we are able to identify those few forbidden foods, then we will be good to say that the remaining food can be classified as permissible to be eaten. Now, whenever we read the Holy Quran and we come across this statement or expression, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye who believe, Allah the Almighty draws our attention to a very important claim that we make, that we are believers or we would want to be considered as believers. So whenever we read the Holy Quran and we come across Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, what it means is that if you consider yourself a believer, or you would prefer to be counted among the believers, then the following instruction that comes after is something that you have to take seriously. Now, Allah the Almighty has given us everything that we need, and none of us came into this world with any particular food of our taste. It is Allah the Almighty who has provided all this, given to us for free. And then he says, among all this food I have given you, there are some which constitute an insignificant percentage of all the food. Those ones, I'm asking you to stay away from them. You see, this is something so important, and I think it tests our commitment and our level of righteousness, that Allah has given us everything, but then he says such a fraction, which is very insignificant, stay away from them. Now, I said that, of course, as a believer, we are not even required to be asking for why is Allah the Almighty forbidding us from taking such and such food. When we read from the Islamic history, we come across an interesting incident that happened in the life of the early Muslims that has no bearing and can never be traced to any other generation or any other religion. I'm talking about the level of obedience that the early Muslims exhibited towards the commandments of Allah the Almighty. History tells us that as the Holy Quran was revealed gradually, it came to a point that people had believed they were Muslims, they were practicing Islam, but then there were certain conducts that laws had not been made about them. So those Muslims were engaging in some of them, among them being alcohol, the consumption of alcohol. And it is stated that the very day that Allah the Almighty gave a law forbidding the consumption of alcohol, the streets were flooding with alcohol. Everybody came out to pour their alcohol on the street, the wine that they had. So this is a unique thing about Muslims. And Alhamdulillah, today we have some Muslims who also strictly don't give any form of excuses when it comes to fulfilling the commandments of Allah the Almighty. Now let's go into the verse that I recited. Here Allah the Almighty says, Innama harama alaykum al-mayta, that Allah has forbidden or he's made unlawful to you that which dies of itself. So the first instruction here governing what we are to eat and what we are not to eat is that we are to completely stay away from an animal that dies by itself. This is the first that we take from this verse. And in terms of the animals that die by themselves, there are several categories. But then no matter what the circumstance might be, once an animal dies by itself, the Holy Quran says, stay away from it. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran has stated various forms through which animals, die, that we are to stay away from those. One of them being an animal that falls from a height and dies. So we are supposed to stay away from that. An animal could be dead by being killed by another animal. That is something that we are also supposed to stay away from. An animal could be dead by, having contracted a disease. We are to stay away from that animal. that is dead. So in essence, any form of animal that is dead, the meat becomes dangerous for human consumption, and for that reason, we have to stay away from that. In most cases, when animals die, we are not sure of the cause of their death. But then, even in cases where we are aware of the causes of their death, the accumulated blood that is left in their body makes it unhealthy, for consumption. Here comes also the logic and also the philosophy and the wisdom behind why Islam recommends that those animals that we are permitted to eat, they have to be slaughtered in a very, proper and prescribed manner. That is, you cut the throat. And by cutting the throat, you disconnect the blood flow from the heart being pumped and also to the brain. That helps to facilitate the rate of killing the animal without putting a lot of pain on the animal. But then one important thing about this is that a large portion of the blood in the animal is gotten rid of. This is very important because the next sentence from what we read is that blood is also forbidden to be eaten. From the verse, that is chapter number 2, verse 174. Allah the Almighty says, forbidden to you is that which dies by itself and blood. So as Muslims, blood is also forbidden to be consumed in any form. There are people who drink blood, raw. Others fry it, others boil it, others, whichever mode of preparing, the Holy Quran says it is forbidden. Now, another question is why? It is very important and significant that blood contains most of the diseases that a living organism has. And that is why a little sample of blood can reveal a lot about a person's health, the number of diseases that a person may have. So once you consume blood, indirectly you are taking into your body contagious diseases and harmful substances into your body. That's why Allah the Almighty has forbidden the consumption of blood. There might be many scientific reasons. But then I am presenting this as a basic, the basics of this topic. So I wouldn't delve too much into the sciences. Now, the third one is swine, the flesh of swine, or what is generally called as pork, the meat obtained from pig. Allah the Almighty says that is also forbidden. There are different types of animals and different forms of how they digest food. So I have here the digestive systems of ruminants. Ruminants are animals that include, cattle, sheep, goats, deer, antelopes, and the likes. And then also I have here the digestive system of a pig. Now, if you look closely, you see, and I think those of us who have had a little bit of, idea about biology and how animal systems, run, but particularly the digestive system, the ruminants, like the cow, the goats, and the sheep, and, the antelopes, and they have one stomach, but then divided into four chambers. Each one of them has a very unique role that it plays. So, for instance, with a cow, as I have on the screen, when a cow eats grass, it goes to a chamber, which is called a rumen, and it gets partially digested, not complete. And then again, it comes back for it to be chewed. So sometimes you will see a cow or a sheep, a goat lying down, and then it will be chewing. So the feed or the food that it eats, whether it's grass or whatever, the first when it eats, of course, it's mixed with saliva, which also has a very important role to play in helping to digest and also killing bacteria. But then once it gets into the first chamber, there are some kind of also enzymes, scientifically, or bacteria or organisms, which also help to digest the food. And then once it is partially digested, it comes back into the mouth to be chewed again, which is called a cud, chewing the cud. Now, after there, again, it comes back to the same chamber, that is the rumen. And then from there, it comes to the reticulum. And then it comes to the omasum and then the abomasum. And then it goes to the other smaller and also the larger intestines. And then it is excreted. So this process takes much longer time, ensuring that bacteria and other, harmful substances are properly separated from what enters into the bloodstreams of that particular, animal. And remember, these are the very animals we're going to put on our table in about maybe 24 hours, 48 hours after they chew whatever they ate. Now, the pig, unfortunately, has a very, in fact, one of the most poorest digestive system. As you might see here, the pig has only one stomach. So once it eats, whatever it eats, even if it adopts eating grass, it goes way directly into the stomach, and then it is kind of facilitated. So within a short time, it is poorly digested. And as we know, pigs eat filth. They eat things that we can't even mention here. In fact, a pig is only animal that would eat its own young ones after, I mean, when they die. So imagine a pig eating any form of dead animals in a very bad shape. And then because of the poor digestive system it has, within few hours, it is poorly digested. And then you kill it, you find that on your table in a few, minutes or hours. So when Allah the Almighty forbids us from taking certain things, there are serious reasons and also consequences if we don't pay heed to those instructions. I believe just by looking at the diagrams here or the pictures here, it speaks a lot that even if we had no idea about their circumstances and the way they, digest, if we are asked to choose one, we would definitely go for the one that has, several chambers. So this is just a basic demonstration of how rough and how poor the digestive system of the pig is, for which reason Allah the Almighty says we should stay away from that. The next thing that also is important for us to know about why pigs are not supposed to be eaten. Pig or swine, the meat, which is pork, is high in cholesterol. Because of the poor digestive system it has, it is not able to properly work on whatever it eats. So most of the bacteria and things that have to be should have been gotten rid of stays in the body. So science will tell you that if you just go, you just make a quick search about the harmful effects of eating pork, one of the things they're going to tell you that because of its high in cholesterol, and also fat, eating it can increase the risk of developing diseases like cancer, heart diseases, diabetes, and a lot more. So it is not for any reason that in, areas where pork is highly consumed, some of these diseases are rampant. Now, as I said, we didn't even need to go into some of these details to prove a point. Allah the Almighty, who knows what these animals have within them, says stay away from them. So simple. And if we do that, definitely it's going to be good for us. But then one thing we always see here is that Islam is a religion of nature. And in fact, Islam is not a religion that puts difficulty on us. But then all these forbidden and restrictions are for our own health, our own well-being. So there are times that you would have to choose between what is extremely important and also foregoing the commands of God. So here, Allah the Almighty says, if we continue from the verse, again, chapter number 2, verse 174, Allah the Almighty says, but whosoever is driven by necessity, being neither disobedient nor exceeding the limit, it shall not be considered as a sin. So it goes to say that, yes, Allah the Almighty says, do not make this food part of your daily, or do not make it your food, do not eat it. But then when it comes to a point that you are between life and death situation, you are starving, you are at the brink of dying out of hunger, and that is the only food available, you can eat it, but that should not be a habit. It shouldn't be like you are eating it as fun, but then that should be the last option. And I can tell you that I know that Muslims, even though this permission is there, would prefer to die instead of eating pork. I think this is how simple I can put it. So here, once we understand all this food that we are not supposed to eat, definitely the rest can be classified as permissible food to eat. There are quite some, I mean, number of some food that we are not also supposed to eat. Again, we come to the Holy Quran where Allah the Almighty says, Ya ayyuhannasu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. That is, O ye people, eat of the good that we've provided for you in the earth and follow not the footsteps of Satan. Surely Satan is to you an open enemy. Here, there are two things mentioned. One is halal. Eat of that which is halal. And in Islam, halal means something that is permissible, something that is lawful. So there are two words. The opposite of halal is haram. So in the first verse, Allah the Almighty says he has made it haram for us. That is forbidden. But here he says halal. That is the lawful things. So if we take all the unlawful foods and put them aside, the remaining food become halal. But then even that, the Holy Quran puts a caveat and say, Toyiba. So among the halal, those that are permissible that we can eat, we also would have to consider those that are wholesome. And wholesome means something that is good for consumption. So for you, particularly considering your situation. So let's say, for instance, beef. Based on the demonstration we've had, beef is halal. It is permissible to eat. But then if you are a person that once you eat beef, you find your system rejecting it. What it means is that beef might not be wholesome for you. It might not be toyib for you. So this is how it is, that among the lawful ones, there are some that practically might not be suitable to your condition. Once you come to know about that, if you continue to eat and you continue to have a health problem and that leads to your death, you could be answerable for causing your, I mean, taking your own life because you knew it. For instance, you eat it and you have stomach ache, and then you eat it the next time you have stomach ache and you continue to eat it because you love it. That is not going to be considered as fulfilling the commandment of Allah. And then Allah the Almighty says, Wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. That do not follow the footsteps of Satan, because Satan is to you an open enemy. It is a fact that whenever human beings are given laws, which in this case are very clear as to staying away from certain things, We try to find excuses. We create our own excuses, our own environments to make it easy for us to violate those laws. And these are satanic thoughts, satanic, inclinations, satanic decisions that we make. That's why Lord Almighty says, do not follow the footsteps of Satan, because Satan is an open enemy to you. In fact, these laws, despite the fact that the Holy Quran may have explained them even much better with much details, Islam is not the first, or the Holy Quran is not the first book to have brought about some of these restrictions. In the Bible, there are countless verses that forbid us from eating pork, dead animals, and certain class of animals. But then those who claim to follow the Bible, Christians, Jews, and whoever, these are the very meat that they eat. So today you will not be surprised to see a Christian holding the Bible, claiming the Bible to be the Word of God, and claiming to say that the whole Bible is the revelation from Allah, yet they'll be eating pork, despite the fact that it's been forbidden in the very book that they so cherish, if they should, in fact. So this sometimes comes, I mean, it kind of, explains, or it reveals how different Muslims are when it comes to being obedient to the commandments of Allah the Almighty. It is very important. As I said, I know that most Muslims will prefer to die out of hunger than eating pork. But then there are people who have made it their delicacy, something that they cherish so much that some people will say that they can't forgo it even a day. So you see how sometimes human beings we are, how disrespectful and how disobedient we are. Now, the Holy Quran also forbids consumption of alcohol, wine, basically. And the word used here, Allah the Almighty says, that is in chapter number 2, verse 222. He says, Yas'alunaka anil khamr wal maisir. Qul fihima ithmun kathirun wa manafi'un linnas. He says, and they ask you concerning wine and game of hazard, that is gambling. Say, in both, there are great sin and also some benefit for mankind. But then the sin is much more, or the harm in them is much more than the benefit in it. How scientific. Let me put the game of hazard aside, the gambling aside, and let's talk about the alcohol or the wine. So here, Allah the Almighty says, when they ask you about wine or alcohol, tell them that there is some good in it, and also there's bad in it. The bad or the harm in it is more than the good in it. Then you go to chapter number 5, verse 91. Allah the Almighty continues basically this verse about alcohol. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu innamal khamr wal maisir wal ansab wal azlam rijsum min amali shaitan fajtanibuhu. Again, we focus only on the alcohol. It translates to say that, oh, you who believe, wine and all the other things, game of hazard, idol worshiping, and this and that, they are the abomination of Satan's handwork. Then it goes on to say, so shun each one of them. We know that during the pandemic, alcohol became a very important substance in terms of being used as sanitizers and, cleaning surfaces. So in the wisdom of the Holy Quran, alcohol has some good in it. But then when it has to be taken, like drinking, that is when the harmful effects surface. And it is for a very good reason that the Holy Quran clearly did not say that alcohol is forbidden, so completely have nothing to do with it. Alcohol is used as preservative. It is used to preserve certain forms of food, even medicine, the medication that we use, and most of them have have certain, dose of alcohol in it. But then one thing that is clear is that the amount of alcohol that is in that medicine, if you take even like 100 tablets of a medicine, that alcohol cannot get you intoxicated. It is the medicine which might either kill you. So here, the Holy Quran also has proven to be scientific, stating that yes, the consumption of alcohol might not be good and it's not good, but then there could be some other benefits of alcohol. Then it comes to the other side where it says that do not consume it, stay away from it. If we put all these things together and we ask ourselves the simple question, why should we, of all the things Allah the Almighty has given us, ignore this simple rule when he says, do not eat A, B, and C? It is very serious. And sometimes we find it very difficult to understand why some people blatantly disregard the command of Allah. If you ask certain Christians, particularly those who eat some of these things, alcohol consumption, we know that alcohol consumption is very high in most of the Christian countries. Pork consumption is high in most of the Christian countries. You wouldn't find this in any Islamic country. So if you look at it, it goes to prove how Muslims, by the grace of Allah, try the best we can to fulfill the commandments of Allah. And then when you ask people why they continue to eat pork, they will tell you that when Jesus Christ came, he came to cleanse everything. Some will tell you that when he cast some demons and they entered into pigs and then he drove them into the sea. I mean, this is just tales. And even if it is to be taken as factual, what has driving an evil spirit into a pig and the pig going into the sea to die, what has it got to do with a commandment which says do not eat pig? Is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ said that I have canceled the earlier laws governing or regarding the consumption of pork? So from today you can eat it. And then he himself eating it to demonstrate that those laws are no more. There's none. So once we become, particularly the new converts and people who would love to become Muslims, we would have to make some sacrifices. And these sacrifices are not anything so difficult to undertake. Of course, there are several options. There are thousands of options. But then if we obey the laws of Allah, the commands of Allah, that is when Allah the Almighty is also going to pay attention to us. But then if we don't want to fulfill any command of Allah, if we want to blatantly disregard what Allah the Almighty wants us to do, what Allah the Almighty expects from us, then we should also be mindful that whenever we stand in need of any assistance from the same God, he would not pay attention to us. It is so obvious that even our own children, if you have a particular child that is stubborn, does not want to comply with any laws in the house, and would just make sure that whatever laws are made or whatever rules are made in the house, he would make or she will make sure that each one of them, he or she violates them. I don't think this same child will come to you and ask for something, even when you're going to happily give to that child. So if we want God to pay attention to our needs, our prayers, we have to also be ready to fulfill the commands or to obey the commands of Allah the Almighty. As I said, most of these are stated in the Bible. If we read from the books of Leviticus chapter 11 and also the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14, quite a number of verses, I can't take each one of them. But then if you go there and you read, you come to know why Islam is a different religion, and no other religion can be compared. Particularly, followers of no religion can compare themselves when it comes to obeying or being obedient and disciplined in terms of, fulfilling the commandments of Allah. There are some other animals that Islam also forbids us from eating. If we read from the Holy Quran, animals that kill other animals, carnivorous animals, we are to stay away from them. So for instance, a dog which, you know, kills or which eats flesh, those animals that eat flesh, a dog, a lion, like crocodile, those any animal that eats the flesh of another animal, you know, Islam says we should stay away from those animals. And it goes also with birds, birds of prey, like the hawk, the eagles, and those things. And if the question is, why should we stop, I mean, eating those, it goes to the same reasons. They eat, most of them also eat even dead animals. And once they kill animals and they eat them, you know, raw, in some cases, they can, you know, get infected with certain diseases because their lifestyle is always in contact with other animals, killing them and eating, you know, without following any proper procedure. Islam teaches us, as I said, that when you are killing even an animal which is permissible to eat, you slaughter it in a proper way. And then by slaughtering it, a large portion of the blood is drained from the body. And then Islam also advises that when you are cooking, basically, you prepare your meals in a very wholesome manner. Now back to the word that is used for wine or alcohol. There are several other, you know, substances that can also fall under the same category. Anything, the word khamr, the root word basically implies something that once you take in, you take into your body, takes control. It takes control of your head. It takes control of your reason. It's almost like you tie something, you know, around your head. So any substance that either can be injected or can be inhaled or can be smoked, which has that kind of same effect, that can take you out of your reality and transport you into a different system where you feel like you no longer remain a human being, all these things are forbidden. Particularly when we are in an environment when where smoking is very high, a Muslim should do the best we can to stay away from that. Because we know that smoking has a very, you know, dire consequence on our head, on our lungs. And for those who are used to, you know, buying cigarettes and other things, once you buy, it is boldly written there, smoking is harmful to your health. So anything that is harmful to your health, Islam says stay away from them. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran says that do not cast your own self into destruction by your own hands. So do not put yourself into destruction by your own hands. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran states, Kulu washrabu wala tusrifu, that eat and drink, but do not exceed the limit. So if you look at it, even those things that we are permitted to eat, the Holy Quran puts some kind of check in our consumption, that when you are eating, you should not exceed the limit. The Holy Founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community, Hazrat Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his book, The Philosophy of the Teaching of Islam, he stated that what we eat has effect. Some food that we eat have direct effect on our minds and also on our thinking. So he gave example that research shows that people who stay away from a particular diet, they develop certain kind of complications. And one thing he said is that people who are used to eating meat, they lose, you know, the sense of being humble, and they lose the sense of being having sympathy on other people. That is people who are used to eating meat and meat and meat only. There are people like that. There are some people who, you know, would not even dare eat fish. Meat is, you know, they are everything. And it is almost like those animals that eat meat only, like lion, the dogs, and you see how aggressive they are. So what we eat indirectly also has effect on our behavior. So the environment that we are exposed to, the kind of food that we eat, directly or indirectly, sometimes have effect on our body. That's why Islam, as a religion that appeals to our conscience, and also a religion that is here to stay, everlasting religion, has not left any stone unturned when it comes to making our life better and facilitating the way we should worship Allah the Almighty. The Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has said that a healthy Muslim is much more superior than a weaker Muslim. So when we dedicate time to worship Allah the Almighty, we also would have to take into account our health, what we take into our bodies. I have seen this message that what is the difference between halal meat and regular meat? So halal, basically, as I have explained, constitute meat, that basically food that we are supposed to eat. But then when you link it with meat, definitely then it goes to mean meat that falls under the category of those that are not forbidden. But then generally in the Muslim community, there is this tendency to liken a meat that has been killed only by a Muslim as halal. That is what most Muslims believe, that if a particular meat is not killed by a Muslim, even though it might be a cow, a goat, a sheep, they term it as not halal. That is not right. Because there are instances, you know, the Holy Quran prescribes that once you are killing an animal, and I think there is a portion I left from the verse that I recited, chapter 2, verse 174, where it talks about things that have been killed, or those animals that have been killed by invoking the name of any other than Allah. So as Muslims, when we are killing an animal, we are required to mention the name of Allah, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and then you slaughter the animal. Now, as I said, most Muslims believe that when an animal is killed without mentioning the name Bismillah Allahu Akbar, even though the person might have slaughtered it not on an idol, the person might have slaughtered it, you know, for general consumption, they think that it is not halal. That is their own definition of it. But then halal means something that Allah the Almighty has not forbidden. So if somebody, for instance, if a Christian who is a butcher kills a cow, and the purpose of killing the cow is for consumption, the butcher did not slaughter the cow on an idol. He did not mention the name of any other god, or he did not even mention the name of God, Allah the Almighty. But then once he did not kill it on an idol, a Muslim can eat it by reciting the prayer that if you were to kill it, you would have recited. So you mention the name of Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Now, some other Muslims will say, no, this is far-fetched. There are cases in history which show that the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who understood Islam better than anybody, he used to eat, or he used to partake in meat presented to him by people who were not Muslims. So I have come across people, you know, when they come to our mosque, they keep asking, where do you get halal meat? Where do you get halal meat? Yes, if you have that option where a Muslim kills an animal, then you would be rest assured that they follow the right, the due process to the core. But then if a non-Muslim kills an animal and the purpose of killing is just for consumption, as a Muslim, you are allowed to eat. Verify that it was killed, it was not a dead animal, it was not a pig, or it was not, you know, and then also possibly there should be a separation between, for instance, if there is a butcher who kills both cow and pig at the same time, then you have to avoid those places. Find places where one particular animal like a cow or a sheep or a goat is done, so that by mistake no meat cross, or they don't use one the same knife or the same tools or devices to kill here and also use it on this. So this is, I think, the simplest explanation I can give. And for a further detail, I believe most Muslims are aware that at a point in the life of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a Jewish lady attempted to poison him and his followers, some of the followers, basically the companions. The lady did so with the intention that if he was not a messenger of Allah, then he would have died. I wouldn't want to go too much into details, but then the fact that the companions and even the messenger of Allah put a lump of the meat in his mouth and later on realized that it was poison and took it out means that that Jewish lady did not slaughter the animal by pronouncing the name of Allah. So, I mean, that is okay to go. But in all things, we have to also be moderate and not inflict things that have not been put on us, on our own selves, or hardship. We don't have to put hardship that Allah the Almighty has not put on us. May Allah bless us all. Assalamu alaikum.